Hello, my friends. I'm Bianca, the Ticking Time Bomb. We've got another special edition of the Free Watch Collection, and here to talk about his trio today is Ben. Welcome to the studio, Ben.
Thanks, Bianca. It's great to be here.
So how did you start this hobby of yours?
I think my first watch many years ago was a G-Shock, and it wasn't a watch. It was just the thing you put on. It was a G-Shock. The world of watches didn't really exist. This is even pre-smartphone. Needed a way to tell the time. I worked in a gym, you know, for a long time. We'd time your clients, time your sessions. It was how I woke up in the morning. So the most basic entry-level G-Shock was my very first one.
So I've spoken to a few collectors now. They have some kind of philosophy behind their collections. Mm-hmm. What do you keep in mind when collecting?
I'll tie that in with moving on from the G-Shock. I mean, a philosophy of collecting didn't really exist as a concept when I ramped it up from the G-Shock. It, you know, years passed, it sort of fell in and fell out of even wearing a watch. You get an iPhone. Why else would I need something to tell the time with? COVID started, you know, we all had a lot more time. Some of us had a little more money just laying around because we were traveling. And then I thought, this watch thing, you know, maybe I found my G-Shock in a cupboard somewhere. And I thought, what else is there? And like a lot of people, I found myself, you know, scrolling, you know, the different websites and things, your local mass jewelry, you know, stores, and found myself very quickly, I think it was Christmas 2020, buying online, you know, Seikos and a couple more G-Shocks and things like that. And before you know it, you have this sort of small collection of half a dozen watches, well, not small collection, I suppose, but half a dozen watches without really any philosophy. You've just bought a bunch of stuff that you saw online that felt good, and you get that shipping notification and it arrives and you put it on and you're like, oh, that's cool. I'm done. That's it. This Christmas is good. And then you jump on YouTube, you start finding people's YouTube channels, and then you start actually developing a little bit of taste. You know, you start going, well, why do I like this watch when I put it on? Why do I like this other watch? Why does this one, why do I just not put it on anymore? And you start developing a philosophy of watch collecting. And I think for me, very quickly, it became apparent that if I put it on, I want to feel something. You know, I mean, it's a watch. It's not like a crazy song where I'm going to dance around the room, but I still want to have some kind of emotional connection to it when I put it on. And so over time, you whittle down, you know, where you're going to be, and you work out. I'm a person that I like to wear 40 mil watches around there or slightly smaller. I have reasonably slim wrists. As you start developing your taste, developing your philosophy that way.
Sounds like you're refining your collection. And what do you keep in mind when you do purchase a watch now?
Well, now, I mean, obviously the collection has ramped up a little bit from the Seikos and things like that. And I still love my Seikos and other pieces, but you start moving into some of the higher end or more, you know, luxury adjacent sort of things. And every time I look at a piece or I think about a piece, I use a phrase with my friends, and it was probably one of my friends who taught it to me. It was, make bigger moves more slowly. And he uses it in terms of colognes or clothes and things like that. Rather than, oh, I love those shoes and those shoes or that cologne or that, like, save a little more, wait a little longer. If I like the watch today, do I still like it next week? Do I like it next month? You know, make bigger moves more slowly. So now, when I'm looking for another piece, it's got to be something different to what I own already in terms of color of the dial, you know, the complications, you know, is it a GMT? Is it a chronograph? There are some complications that I don't own that I'd love to. And if I suppose that leads us, maybe I'll talk about, you know, the first sort of piece that really ramped it up for me was this Omega Speedmaster, the 3861, the most modern sort of iteration of the Speedmaster. I purchased this a couple of years ago when I turned 40, or for my 40th birthday, and I'm very fortunate that my father, my dad, Mike, paid for this for me.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, you know, I love my dad very much, and but we've never had sort of the relationship where we make these huge purchases for each other. You know, we love to catch up and hang out and do things. This was out of the blue. I was really surprised. We actually sat down for lunch. He says, Ben, do you still want that watch that you we're talking about? I said, yeah. And he says right before he goes to the bathroom, we're at the pub, you know, we're waiting for our lunch. He goes, check your bank balance. He transferred the full payment for this Omega Speedmaster, which was just, it just blew my mind. And rather than wait till my birthday, several months later, I think the next day I went and purchased my Speedmaster. I tried it on at the local Omega boutique a couple of times. And from the minute I put it on, I went, that's how that's meant to feel. I mean, nothing else I owned even came close. And I put it on and it felt so me. I felt like I'd owned it for years. And I've worn it almost every single day. I wear it at work. I wear it casually, t-shirt and shorts. I mean, I'm obsessed with space, and we'll talk about that a little bit later with the Snoopy. It's not part of the Three Watch collection, but I love space. I love chronographs. I love Omega in general. And this was my sort of first stepping stone into what people would call luxury watches.
Thank you, Ben, for sharing your story with us. That was very touching. I do see we have another Omega here. You're also into diving, not just space?
Just a little bit. My friends watching this will probably be laughing right now. So diving for me is a very recent development. I've always been interested in scuba diving. Obviously, you start getting into watches, you watch some James Bond films, you start listening to podcasts, watching videos, and with watches, there are a lot of parallel activities, and one of them for a lot of people with dive watches is scuba diving. So the last few years, I've been like, I really want a Seamaster. I'd love an Omega Seamaster, but I'm not a diver. I don't dive. I need to do it. And so I thought, you know what? I love my Speedmaster. I really want a Seamaster, but I can't get one until I take up scuba diving. And I thought to myself, well, my reward to myself for getting my diving ticket, my open water certification, will be to get myself a Seamaster. So one day I'm at my local Omega boutique and I'm just looking, you're only just looking when you go into these places, and I see this particular one. A lot of people watching this will know it. It's the Seamaster 300 Professional with the white dial black ceramic bezel. I fell in love with it as soon as I saw it in person. I mean, it's a big watch, but it doesn't wear big. It tapers down with the very comfortable rubber strap. And I thought, I just have to have it. I have to have it. And, you know, and somewhat foolishly, I was like, let's just do it today. Like, let's do it. So I purchased on a random weekday, on a random Tuesday, day off work. Hadn't even told my partner, came home, big sort of Omega bag. Look what I just did. And she goes, but you don't dive. And I'm like, well, no, that's not the point yet. This is my reward for getting my scuba certification. A year passes of me wearing this all the time. Hadn't done my scuba certification, and more of my clients at work had been like, oh, have you got your scuba ticket yet? You know, have you got? And I sort of kept keeping myself honest by telling as many people as possible that this is my reward. And they're like, well, why haven't you haven't done it yet? So last June, now middle of winter, I'm like, you know what, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to have the time. So let's make the time. When did my scuba certification? And not to turn this into a YouTube channel about scuba diving, but it is one of the greatest things I've ever done, especially if you're a fan of dive watches or watches in general. And I loved it. And I've worn this on over 50 dives. Obviously, if you know anything about scuba diving, you do wear like a Garmin or a Suunto, like you wear an actual digital dive watch, but that doesn't take away from how I feel when I put this on my other wrist. I'd love to get to the point with diving where I'm comfortable enough to leave the Garmin at home and just wear my Seamaster. I think it would be pretty special to time a dive with just that and rely on it and have a go. If you like, it's pretty scuffed, pretty scratched, pretty beaten up, and it wears a lot smaller than you think.
I could possibly get away with this.
I think anyone could, with the way sort of the rubber strap tapers and everything. But yeah, my first big scratch or ding was right above the 12 o'clock
loom. I can see that.
If sick the first time. Second one, you don't feel so bad. The 50th scratch, you're like, yeah, well, it's mine now.
I like the concept behind your watch wearing. Instead of having them in the safe, you seem to get a lot of use and enjoyment out of them.
I try to. I think none of these watches are cheap, and even my Seikos and things, they're all, you know, some hundreds of dollars, and they're designed to do far more than we'll ever put them through. And I suppose it's a very small way of rationalizing what we spend on these things and how much we obsess over them is to get some use out of them. And even if it means I'm not using it to time an actual dive, it's still on my wrist. It's still under the water. It's closer to what it may have been designed to do as people really would have used them for real, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago before we had digital dive watches. And I suppose that's how we rationalize this insane hobby that we all share.
Now, see your last one. Would I say that would be your dress watch?
Correct. Absolutely. And I think, again, to come back to your first question, when you talked about the philosophy of watch collecting, when I was asked to come and have a chat with yourself, is to build a three watch collection. You can't really make any of the three watches the one that does it all, because otherwise, what's the point? I mean, these are three of my definitely sort of biggest pieces, so to speak, and definitely the three that mean the most to me. But none of them cross too far into the territory of the others. Obviously, my diver, I'm certainly not going to wear my Speedmaster diving. It's not going to look the same when it comes out. Sadly, I'm not likely to go to space anytime soon. So, you know, vice versa. And I'm not James Bond. I can't wear this with a suit, which is where the Speedmaster comes in. Or even more would now be my Rolex Datejust. You know, the quintessential Rolex for a lot of people, the two-tone, you know, Datejust, you know, fluted bezel Jubilee bracelet. Have a play.
Yeah. I mean, I just love the dial on this.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the thing that made it different to me to all the other many, you know, two-tone, you know, yellow gold steel Datejusts out there. I mean, Rolex is a lot of things to a lot of people, and, you know, that conversation could be had for years. You know, for some people, the quintessential Rolex is the Pepsi GMT or it's the Submariner, and none of those people are wrong. For me, my entry and my knowledge of Rolex was, it's got to be that Jubilee bracelet. You know, it's got to be that fluted bezel, you know, almost a piece of jewelry. You know, it's a bracelet almost. And so different to the other two watches that we're talking about today. This is my dress watch. You know, this is the one I put it on with a suit. I feel something. You know, when I wear it, I wear it out to dinner with my partner. But at the same time, it's my one Rolex. It's my beginning in if that's Rolex is a journey, which it can be. I wear a t-shirt and shorts. You know, I wear it all the time. Let's get the use out of these things. There's a couple of little dings and scratches on it already. I'm not going to flip it. I'm not going to sell it. This is my Rolex that I have. It might only ever be my one Rolex. I don't know. We'll see. I love it every time I put it on.
Thank you. That one back.
And I suppose, give a little more context to this story. We've talked about the Speedmaster was my 40th birthday present from my father. The Seamaster was my self-imposed reward for diving. The Rolex was my Rolex. You know, the Rolex, I bought it for myself. There was no life event other than this was the time I bought my first Rolex. It felt good. I mean, I justify it, say this was my 40th birthday present to myself, but I mean, who am I kidding? I just love the thing. Every time I see it, that palm dial is just gorgeous.
Now, you've been collecting for some time. Was it quite challenging to come up with these three today, to choose these?
A little bit, yes and no. I wanted to think, what are the three pieces that I own that mean the most to me? Not in terms of dollar value, although there is an adjacent quality there. I don't consider myself typically sentimental. Some people would definitely argue with that. But present from my father, you know, represents scuba diving. Blingy two-tone, you know, steel and gold, first Rolex. Yep. You know, there is an emotional quality to that. So to pick the three watches today was reasonably easy from the hip. I just went, what are the three that mean the most to me? In lieu of my Speedmaster, and now the more I've talked about it, I'm glad with my decision, was my Omega Snoopy, which I was lucky enough to get allocated at retail. Very surprising. Obviously have a couple of Rolexes and a few of Rolex's aftermarket straps and things, which hopefully helped. But again, I am obsessed with space and NASA.
This is a perfect watch.
Oh, absolutely. This one, if they talked about a one watch collection, and I didn't need to go diving, this would be it. And obviously, if you know, we all know about the Snoopy on
yep,
the back.
Yep, coming around that moon.
On the, but what I didn't realize until after I picked this up and I babbled at the sales associates about my love of space, they're like, Ben, we get it. You've got the watch. You don't have to keep selling yourself. But what I didn't realize when I got home is that the anniversary of Omega being given the award from NASA is October the 5th, which is my birthday.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's meant to be.
There you go, Snoopy, right now.
There you go, Snoopy. You can show that to people that don't collect watches. They still think you're a little crazy, but they maybe they're, you know, 5% a little bit crazy themselves after seeing that.
And there, you would definitely be impressed.
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially when they realize it's not digital. Like they're seeing the tiny little imperceptible arm that Snoopy goes around on, all this detail that doesn't need to be there, but someone went, no, let's make that happen.
Amazing. So where's your collection at now? Would you say you're fairly happy with how things are? Any proposed changes?
Like I was alluding to before, I think bigger moves made slowly, made more slowly, is sort of what I'm trying to take into 2024. These all, you know, took some saving up for or moving funds around, and they all mean something in that regard. But now if I'm going to add anything, especially to like a three watch collection, these are actually the three that I wear the most easily. It's got to be something to make it into that sort of three watch rotation. It's got to add something else. I love the color red. I mean, the only red thing I have here really is the strap on my Snoopy right now. I'd love something with a red dial. You know, no one's really doing, not many people are doing much in red dials. I hope that that becomes a trend at some point. Some of the pieces I'm looking at very long term are things like the JLC perpetual calendar, you know, in rose gold. Again, that's an order of magnitude higher level of expense than these. And I'm happy with that. Like, wait longer, save more, make it a life event. You know, like, find, not just because you can afford it at the time and you buy it off the shelf. You're like, yeah, but like, do something special, celebrate a promotion. I think that's within terms of collecting, basically slow down, make bigger moves that mean something to me, add something special.
Ben, you've been an absolute pleasure in sharing your stories behind your collection today, and I thank you for that.
That's very kind. Thank you. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
And for completing today's challenge, are you keen on a glass of whiskey?
Always. Absolutely. That's why we're here, isn't it?
And guys, let us know what's in your three watch collection. And if you enjoyed today's video as much as I did, make sure you check out our other content, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on the next three watch collection.